Chapter 2. The ground was fairly level, and both Bounder and the wagon had little problem navigating it. However, to Gentry's dismay, the safe path was a long one, and the strange pools stretched farther north than she thought. By the time she turned the wagon back toward the road, the heavy sun sat on the Ochre Mountain's peaks. Bounder snorted, shook her long mane, and planted her hooves. "Come on, girl, just a little farther," Gentry prodded, snapping the reins. Bounder moved forward a few steps, then stopped again, hoofing the ground. Gentry's insides twisted into a tight cord that made her shiver. "Please just go. Please don't make this harder." She could do this. They were almost there. She could lead them to American Fork, sell the china, and make it back in good time. They would be all right. Gentry could be mother and father, just for a little while.
"She's tired," Pearl said.
"No, it's not that." Gentry worried her lip. "Come on, girl." She shook the reins, almost whipping them. "Giddy up." Bounder took one step, then backtracked two, straining against her trace. Gentry clenched her jaw, glanced to the sun. They could still make it in time. Going back wasn't an option anymore. She stopped chewing her lip. Not in front of Pearl, and handed her sister the reins.
"But..."
"It's fine," Gentry assured her, sliding down from the seat. "Keep your eye ahead, in case there's a dip or something I don't see."
"What about Indians?"
"There are no Indians around here," she promised, though she found herself scanning the ochres just in case. Everything had begun to grow shadows. Swallowing, she grabbed Bounder's bridle and tugged her forward. "Come on, it's safe." Gentry gave it a few good tugs. Bounder took a step forward, then another, at least somewhat content to use Gentry as a shield against whatever had spooked her. There were no wolves in these parts, and she heard no rattlesnakes. But maybe the mare had smelled a mountain lion. Gentry tugged harder, urging the horse back toward the road. The sky betrayed her, and the sun set faster than it ought to. The mountains cast their great lumbering shadows over the desert. If Gentry reached the road, they could make it to Hannah's before too long, even if they had to ride in the dark. Pearl lit their lamp and hung it off the side of the wagon as the last dregs of sunlight guided their path. Gentry tripped, but when she looked back, the ground was smooth, free even of weeds. Hot air puffed from Bounder's nostrils. Gentry rubbed her nose before grabbing the noseband of the bridle and tugging the horse forward. Gentry stumbled again.
"Gentry?"
"I'm fine."
"No, I think..."
Pearl squeaked.
"I think it's moving."
"What's moving?" But then Gentry saw it, saw sagebrush bob like kelp on the sea, the soft movement before a wave came in. The brush farther out bobbed first, then closer, closer. Bounder tore her bridle from Gentry's hands and reared. Pearl screamed.
"Whoa, whoa!"
Gentry cried, sidestepping to avoid dancing hooves. A soft cracking like a newly fed fire reached her ears, and the ground waved beneath her feet and the wagon. She faltered and grabbed Bounder's trace.
"Gentry!"
Pearl cried.
"Hold on!"
The ground rippled. Gentry's heart lodged against the back of her tongue, hammering, mad. The earth gurgled. She groped for the wagon. She had to get to Pearl. Bounder whinnied and reared again. She teetered to one side. The trace bowed as the wagon tipped. Pearl screamed and grabbed the wagon's side. A loud crash sounded as the box of china slid from the wagon bed and toppled to the ground.
"No!"
Gentry cried as Bounder found her footing, righting the wagon. Gentry leaned hard into the horse, the ground bubbling more and more, bucking as the water boiled beneath it. Gentry scrambled for the back of the wagon.
"Hold her!"
she shouted.
"I'm trying!"
Pearl scrambled for the reins.